Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From Luke chapter 2, verses 40 and verse 52. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And then verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in favor with God and man. We get this image of Jesus this second Sunday after Christmas, not as the babe born in Bethlehem, but as a growing boy, a growing person. It's probably one of the best images we get of Jesus as true human. We say Jesus is both true God and true man, and here in Luke chapter 2, we get this image of Jesus as truly human, because he grows. He doesn't just come out all fully grown and fully formed. He learns. He doesn't just come out knowing everything, although, you know, my theory is that most babies know everything. They just can't tell you because they haven't learned to talk yet. So maybe that's true with him too. But he grows physically and mentally and builds a good reputation among people. Notice that at the end of verse 52, he has grows in wisdom, years, and in favor with God and with men. So he builds a good reputation with the people of Nazareth. God's favor is on him. His countenance, his face shines on Jesus as he grows and as he prospers and as he learns. He learns both the ways of his Jewish people, right? Because he's part of the family and goes to the festivals and does all of the righteous things that Mary and Joseph are known for doing. They do the things they're supposed to do, and Jesus learns that that's what the family does. He also probably, most likely, learns his father's trade, which was as a carpenter or a builder, sort of a contractor, you might say, in modern language, that he built stuff, and Jesus learned how to do that. And again, built a good reputation among the people of Nazareth. They were good people. They were faithful people. They were righteous people. They were probably the dependable people in the neighborhood in Nazareth. And that was the family that Jesus grew up in. And we hear that. We see that in this Luke chapter 2 part, that Jesus isn't just part of Mary and Joseph. He's part of a family, a larger family. It says they came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with friends and relatives. I mean, this was Jesus' story. This is Jesus as truly human, as a part of the human community. We don't always get to see that. We sort of see Jesus on his own or with his disciples, but here, as a boy, we hear the stories of Jesus as he grows. Now, there aren't a lot of stories about Jesus as a child. In fact, this is probably the only one that we know of where Jesus is 12 years old, roughly, and we see this. There are others in other what we call Gnostic Gospels that aren't necessarily true. They're more like myths and legends about Jesus as a boy. They can be entertaining and creative, but they're not the gospel, and so we don't really put a whole lot of stock in those things. But we have this one here of Jesus as a boy. And it's this great image of him becoming part of the human community that he created. You know, he was born, like we celebrate on Christmas, as a babe in Bethlehem, and he grows and he learns, and Mary takes care of him. Mary has to change him and feed him and do all of those things that you have to do with a baby. I mean, he's no different in that respect. It's not like, you know, we always sing Away in the Manger and we have Jesus in the manger and no crying he makes. But Jesus was truly human as a human baby. Babies cry. That's what they do. That's how they let you know they need things. And so Jesus was being taken care of. The gospel for today is, again, the only incident recorded in the gospels of Jesus as a boy. And he's a typical 12-year-old boy doing the things that a typical 12-year-old boy does. You know, he's confirmation age, or roughly confirmation age. And so he goes to confirmation in the temple with all of the priests and things. That's what he does for confirmation. But he does all of those things that a typical 12-year-old boy would do. And the panic that his parents go into when they realize he's not there is about as real as it can get for Jesus as a true human being. If he wasn't, and this is just conjecture, you know, if Jesus wasn't a true human being, if Mary and Joseph didn't see him as their child, then they wouldn't have cared if he was in the temple and not with them. They would have said, oh, God's taking care of him. They don't have to worry about him because he's holy and all of these things. But no, for them, he was their child, their responsibility. They were supposed to be taking care of him, and he was supposed to be obedient and be with them. So when they realize he's not there as they're traveling back to Nazareth, which is about a 3-day journey on foot, they panic. They go running back to Jerusalem. They'd already gone a day out of Jerusalem, so now they have to run back. And you know that panic that parents feel. They probably were on adrenaline running as fast as they could to get back to Jerusalem. And they get back there and they search for him for 3 days. They hunt in Jerusalem for Jesus, looking high and low, and all the while that panic building, that anxiety that something has happened to their child. There's fear, there's worry, there's concern, just as there would be for any other human being and any other family relationship. They go back and they finally find him. Do you hear Mary reading him the riot act in that? Do you know what you did to us? We've been looking for 3 days for you. You know, do you know how you made us feel? And all of this stuff that Mary would say as a typical mother once they finally found their 12-year-old boy, after they hug him and kiss him and welcome him back. And then you read him the riot act, right? You know, you let him know just what he did. And then it says, as he goes back to Nazareth, he learns to submit and obey his parents. Jesus had to learn these things. Yes, he was righteous in all that he said and did, and yet this was something he had to learn. And as a human being, as Jesus born into this world as a human, as a man, as a boy, he had to learn these things. And this gives us the glimpse of Jesus for us. Because again, if he wasn't truly human, if he was just God in sort of human wrapping, you know, that he wasn't really human, then he's not Jesus for us. If he's not human, then he's just a God far off, sort of make-believing to be a human. But no, Jesus is for us. He becomes a human for us. Adapts and adopts the human traditions of the family that he grows up in, learns how to be a regular person. That's Jesus for us. He's not some distant, you know, watchmaker that wound up the world and let it go and doesn't really care. He is Jesus in the flesh for us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's who Jesus is. And in this very human story, we can embrace that Jesus, embrace this human being who is also God in the flesh, come to earth for us. This was a God who allows himself to probably skin his knees when he fell down playing as a boy. And this is a God who allows himself to be taught the ways of the people that he is part of. This is a God for us. A God for us human beings. In Jesus, we see that connection that God has for his creation, the love that he has for his human creation, that he pays attention to this human need for community. He doesn't place Jesus on a mountaintop where people have to go and climb and find him to gain wisdom from on high. He places him into a human family with human people in a human community in a human city in Nazareth. That's God for us. That's God showing us the importance of the human connection, the importance of the body of Christ, the importance of people being brought together into a community. This is important for God. This is vital for Him, crucial for Him. This is God for us. And as we look around this past year, now that it's New Year, we look around at 2021 and even part of 2020 and realize that human connection, how important the human connection is. And not virtual connection, and not distance connection, and not some off far place looking on a screen connection, but the human connection. How important that is for God's creation. And yes, we live in a community with certain limitations. We live in a community with certain restrictions, but that doesn't change the fact that the human connection is so important for us. Because that's God at work in us when we are connected one to another. There are so many things in this world that can divide us, even when it's not the restrictions. There are other things that divide us, our own desires, our own sinful selves, our own proclivities, our own actions, our own words. Boy, they mess up all sorts of human relationships, don't they? I don't think a single one of us could say that all of our human relationships are absolutely perfect. If we thought that, then we'd really have some struggles, I think. Because the human connection for us is so important. That's why it hurts so much when those connections are broken. That's why the community suffers when those connections are broken. That's why it's so hard to experience all of the different things that separate us. Because God has designed us, and He's shown us this through Jesus, that we are made one for another. We are made for human connection. And we see that. We feel that. We know that. We know that we're made to be connected one to another. We need each other. Can't exist on our own very well. We don't do well. Believe me, the time I've spent in Alaska, I've seen guys who try to exist on their own, and they don't do well out there in the wilderness, especially when they come back into town and try and interact with people. It doesn't go well. We're not made for that. We need one another. And Jesus shows us this by becoming one of us, by becoming one with us, by connecting us one to another through Him. Otherwise, it would just be me and Jesus, some individual religion that we live or spirituality that I experience. It's just me and Jesus, but it's not. That's a wrong way to think about this life that we live. It's not just me and Jesus. It can't be. Yes, I have a personal faith. We all do. We have that connection to God Himself through Christ, but it's never just me and Jesus. It's always us and Jesus. We're in this together. I know that's an old saying that we're all tired of hearing. But when it comes to Jesus, it's true. We are in this together. We're in this Christian faith together. We're in this life of Jesus together. We're in the connection of the Holy Spirit together. And yes, there are going to be things that get in the way all the time. All the time. Sin itself gets in the way. Sin, death, and the power of the devil, as it says in the catechism, that gets in the way and separates us and causes all sorts of strife. The world, the human nature, my own sinful self, that gets in the way and messes stuff up. We don't do things perfectly. We mess things up all the time. But Jesus, He knows that. He lived with the human community. He knows how it works. Again, He didn't just observe from a mountaintop. He was part of it. He was in it, just like we are. And it's the Holy Spirit that we receive through faith and through the waters of baptism, through hearing the word faith, that connects us one to another. We can't see the Holy Spirit. We don't always know when the Holy Spirit is doing what the Holy Spirit is doing, but he's keeping us all connected. He's helping us to grow, to learn, just as Jesus did. Now, Jesus thought the human connection was so important that he went to the cross for that human connection. And do you know, when we get to that Easter story months from now, probably closer than I think, but months from now, we get to this human story of Jesus as he's being led and nailed to the cross. What does he do? The human connection is so important that he goes through a human death. And even in the midst of that, he asks God to forgive the people who are doing it, because he knows that they have no idea what they're doing. Forgive them. And the human connection is so important that even as he's hanging on the cross, he says to the thief next to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise. You'll be where I am." That human connection is so important. Not just some mystical spiritual thing. He knows the human connection. And then even further, as he's hanging on the cross, as his blood is pouring out, he says to his mother and his favored disciple, "Your son, your mother, be connected. Stay in family. Stay with one another." That's how important it was and is for Jesus. And even so, as we come today to the altar, and I know I talk about the sacraments a lot, but that's because they're so important. We come to the sacrament and Jesus offers what? His body and blood, the human connection to us. We get to touch forgiveness and grace and love and joy and peace all together there in the body and blood of Christ. The connection is vital for us. It's vital for Jesus. It's vital for the church. So in this new year, we realize that. We know it. We feel it. And so as the Holy Spirit works in us, we love one another. We forgive one another. With joy, we sing with one another. Sometimes we mourn and weep with one another. We always strive for that human connection. And through the Holy Spirit, he keeps us that way. Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ, who as a human grew and learned, and now as God ascended into heaven, his face shines on us. And may that face, that shine of faith in our hearts, connect us one to another from now until the day when he returns. Amen.